Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. Hello, my name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode number 178 as we're working our way through June, the month dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I love the prayer for the help of the Sacred Heart. We're going to jump right in, starting the show with that. It is a classic. Take away, O my Jesus, the blindness of my heart, that I may know thee. Take away the hardness of my heart, that I may fear thee. Take away the coldness of my heart, that I may resist everything that is contrary to thy will. Take away its heavy, earthly sluggishness and selfishness, that I may be capable of heroic sacrifice for thy glory and for the souls whom thou hast redeemed with thy own most precious blood. Amen. There is such a rich wellspring with this month, the graces that come with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And whether that is learning about St. Margaret Mary or asking ourselves, how can I devote myself to Jesus more, ever more? And for our children, ask them that question as well, this month in particular. And I think it's fitting too, because this is the month of weddings, popular June. And Jim and I just celebrating 19 years of marriage, which was a bit surreal because it's also the first time in our marriage that we're entering the stage of life with having a graduate. I can't believe it. Gabriel, our oldest son, did. Yes, hooray. Thank you, Lord. He officially graduated from high school. So he's also now on his way to basic training. And it has been every inch as emotional as I expected, but beautiful too. And it's just hard to believe that we won't see him until the end of August, and that communication's going to be very limited as well. So please pray for him and all these young men and women who are thrust into this situation. And we've seen the movies. My husband has been to basic training, but I think for my son, it's the fear of the unknown. You know, he's experiencing this for himself now and not knowing what to expect. So just praying lots of prayers for preparation. And then he'll come home at the end of August. That will be the next time we see him. And then he'll finish his second year at the Fire Academy, go once a month for training then in the Army Reserves. And so that's the path. Really proud of him, but it's very real now. And you know, in some ways, that ties into today's show. When he graduated at his party, one of the gifts he received was a book. It's called Marching Orders, A Tactical Plan for Converting the World to Christ. It was written by Dan McGuire. I have it right here. He was actually an officer in the Marines. Now he's a theologian, an evangelist. So what he does is he adapts the operations order that is used in combat missions to the battle to save souls, spiritual warfare, and evangelization. So I definitely want to get Dan on the show. This book will fire you up. It's so good. But I also think our guest on today's show is going to have an equally edifying, powerful effect as he speaks specifically to the men. I wanted to do a special Father's Day episode, and so John Sablon's story is going to speak right into the lives of men and women and all of us, but like the prodigal, the good shepherd who leaves the 99 to find the one, we can put ourselves in these roles and in the story of John, and the absolutely nuclear effect of a wounded rebel soul that is then converted to Christ and the power of that. So I can't wait for you to hear his story. I actually had a chance to sit down with him at an event near San Francisco where I was speaking at a women's conference called Magnify. So a big thank you to the beautiful ladies in Tracy, California. Such a treat to see and meet face to face, heart to heart, the ladies there in that beautiful area. And I hope I have the chance to get out there again soon. But in the middle of this busy day, I was able to sit down with John, as I mentioned, really wanting to somehow find a way to bring you his story. And so here it is. John is the founder of World Ablaze Ministries in the Bay Area of California, but he goes all over the country to speak. He's been featured on EWTN, also Shalom World TV, partnered there with the co-host for the Real Men series with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, dynamic. And so here now, my conversation with John Sablon. Take a listen. Our theme today is men. Guys taking dominion over their hearts to rise as leaders in our communities, our homes, our parishes. So very grateful to be joined today by John Sablon, a Catholic speaker, evangelist, founder of World Ablaze Ministries, husband, father. Hi, John.
Hi. Great to be here with you, Brooke, and I'm blessed to have an opportunity to chat.
It's great to be here. We're in California.
Yes.
At your conference. We're at the Magnify Loved by Him conference. It's been a beautiful day, and I know that's just one piece of your heart, so we'll talk a little about what you do, the conferences, mm-hmm. and your outreach. Mm-hmm. But focusing on men, I want to focus on you. I want to start with your story. I want people to find you and to be inspired by you. And that begins with your testimony, where you go all over and you talk and you share and you speak to men, mm-hmm. but you also speak to women and families. So I had a chance to hear a little bit of your story, and I want to hear a little bit of young John.
Yeah, so I was born on the island of Guam, so it's a Pacific island, very small island. It's probably about 150,000 people, 38 miles long, 8 miles wide kind of thing. So a very small island. And so I was baptized 27 days after I was born. However, I wasn't really raised in the faith. My formation, if you will, catechesis, really stopped at the age of 7. But I left when I was 3 years old, moved to the Bay Area, San Jose, California.
And you're going to church, but not strongly living your faith outside of that?
At this point? So really, it all happened where my mom did her best. She's still to this day a very religious woman, but my father was not. And so we would be my mom would be trying to take us to Mass, and you have 4 sons and a daughter, and you know, the boys are pretty wise, right? They start looking up and saying, well, Dad's not going to Mass. Why do we need to go to Mass? And so there was this fight, ultimately with my mom, which she basically lost that fight.
And also during this time, and I know you're open and share, you were being abused in all manner of ways that obviously you're dealing with at the same time.
Correct. Yeah. So, my father in particular was an alcoholic, and he was a very abusive man. So at an early age, all of us experienced, you know, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and mental abuse. And on top of that, I had a family member who sexually molested me around the age of 10 or 11. So by age 11, I had experienced all forms of abuse from people that are supposed to protect me and love me. I didn't realize this until my adulthood, until my reversion, that how much my experience with my father really affected my ability to be open to the Heavenly Father. I didn't really see the presence of God in my life because of all the trials and tribulations that I was experiencing at such a young age. And then you turn to just the life of how do I self-medicate? How do I make this all go away, right? And unfortunately for me and my 2 older brothers in particular, we turned to the culture, right? How do we make this go away? We turned to the gang life, right? So gang became gang affiliated. And you know, here all this happened by age 11, and then by age 12, I'm arrested for the first time because we're running with the wrong people.
Yeah. Those teenage years, mm-hmm. there's kind of this, guys have to sow their oats kind of mentality, mm-hmm. and boys are going to listen to rap music. And yes, they might get in with the wrong crowds. And does it go back to, you know, man's search for meaning? He's searching ultimately for the Father.
Yeah. I think, you know, there's, for all of us, we have that God-sized hole, and we try to fill it with whatever, right? And really with a world-sized cup. The thing about it too, Brooke, is when you experience all of that trauma at such a young age, it's difficult to make sense of life. And the world,
that's a great point.
You know, it's difficult to make sense of family and relationships, and you know, wait a minute, these are people that are supposed to care for me. So you have this weird relationship that, you know, you tend to love your abuser, right?
Right.
Because that's what you know, mm-hmm. to be love.
How do you go from a young man abused and used and in a dysfunctional situation away from the faith for the most part, even though you had that foundation, to an evangelist, mm-hmm. and not only yourself transformed and transfigured, but you're leading other men to that. So what mm-hmm. happened? What was that?
Yeah,
moment?
It's a $65,000 question, right? I always get that, like, what did it for you to that one moment? You know, there, if I was to try to summarize, I always really, because my wife, we talked about this in our own journey. She says, you know, every knee will bend before the Lord. Some will do it on their own. Others will need their legs broken. And I needed my legs shattered. I didn't realize how broken I was, how wounded I was, how unhappy I was with myself. I would say that it came down to a point where I was going to lose everything.
So at this point, are you married and you're still?
Yeah, so I'm married. So
Making
bad choices. So the funny thing is, you know, just because you marry a good woman doesn't make you a good man. My wife and I are high school sweethearts. You never know what people are going through. I was president of the school, valedictorian, captain of the football team, but I was being shot at, trying to figure out where my next meal was going to come from. You just don't know. My wife's been on her own since she was 16. And we started a family young. We get married, we're working, we're trying to feed our family. We're still striving because we're both ambitious people and we want to provide. We want to not have our kids go through the material struggles we went through. All that being said, we were chasing what the world says is really success. It was at a point where my wife had said, you know, there's something missing. And obviously that's God. She's like, we need to start going back to church. And of course, I'm being a spiritual sloth. I'm like, yeah, whatever, right? Football
spiritual
was...
Spiritual sloth.
Yeah, I was absolutely a spiritual sloth, sad to say. But so we just started church hopping. She comes from a Protestant background.
Okay.
So we just said, okay, let's go to her dad's Baptist church that we went to, you know, that we got married in, right? So here's the cradle Catholic getting married in a Baptist church. So didn't feel comfortable there.
But I just think your story, I mean, it reminds me of my story. You know, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of similarities where if we could go back and tell our younger selves, I mean, we know at the time that we're not doing it right, but just to be so far astray. And then I think also the incredibly amazing grace of God to save us, to pull us out of that. And that mire, because you realize I was so close to this precipice, like it could have gone really bad. And for some of us, it does. But there again, God uses the broken people. It's in the stories, whether it's scripture, whether it's the apostles, the most unlikely.
Of course. Yeah.
So it sounds like for you together, you began in those baby steps where it just was going back to Mass.
Yeah, it was actually, we were church hopping to the different Protestant churches. I never felt at home. And then we got to our home parish, which is now in St. Joseph's. And my wife was like, oh, God is here. I mean, she was convicted 100% with the Eucharist. God is here. We need to come here. So that naturally felt right to me. So at that point, we started, starting attending Mass. Then it became this whirlwind of getting sacraments right. Mm-hmm. And it began that journey back towards a Holy Mother Church. And I'd love to be able to say that, yeah, boom, that was the time, right? And it wasn't, because I was playing hokey pokey with the church. So didn't realize all the abuse, the trauma, the experiences, the indoctrination of the worldly views, how much that was really plaguing my soul. It really came to a point where things were just manifesting itself in ugly behavior. It was at a point where it was back and forth and just me struggling with who I am, me struggling with my own innocence and purity. And pretty much my wife had enough. Yeah. I did not realize how broken I was. I thought I had enough.
And you're a guy. So guys, like you said, they're strong. They're stoic. They truck on through.
Yeah. I mean, my wife, she's a mental health clinician and a school psychologist. And we talk about that window of when you have to actually deal with trauma and then when you just, psychologically, biologically just go. And as a guy, I didn't realize. You have to go deep. I went pretty deep and it took my legs being shattered to say,
So what was that moment?
I think it was the moment where my wife pretty much got fed up and was just like, this can't happen. It's not good for me. It's not good for the kids. And I was pretty much, my relationship with her wasn't going well. My relationship with my children, therefore, was in turmoil. I was probably going to lose my job, because when your family life is consuming you in that way, I'm just not present. Mm-hmm. So I was at that point in my life where if I was going to continue down this path, I would lose everything that mattered to me. For whatever reason, some brothers of mine I went to college with invited me to a men's conference. And I remember going to that men's conference, and I was pretty much in tears the entire time. And it was this big, burly Franciscan friar, right? Ex-Hell's Angel, had his own conversion story, who was just speaking directly to my heart. And I remember it was at the break, the lunchtime, and he was offering confessions. And so I beelined over there and I said, I'm just going to give it all to God. And I was spewing out every sin that I can possibly remember, even the ones I've already confessed, almost like a general confession for us as Catholics. And he comes from around the screen and he was just like moved to say, praise God for the remorse that you feel in your heart. Do you mind if I do the deliverance prayer over you? And I'm like, I don't even know what that is, right? But I'm like, that sounds good. He breaks out a crucifix the size of my head, plops it on my forehead, gets out the book of prayers, and starts saying the deliverance prayer over me in Latin. Mm-hmm. Douses me with holy water 3 times, gives me my penance, and then I go and lay before the Blessed Sacrament for the 45 minutes. And at that moment is the moment that I gave my life to God. I said, whatever you want, I don't know what's going to happen, but I am yours. I've done it my way, I failed. I've done it part way, I failed. I'm gonna lose everything. I probably will lose everything, but you're all I have. You have to save me. And it was the first time, as I'm prostrated before the sanctuary of that altar, that I ever felt the love of a father, that I was embraced, that I felt held as a child of God. So that moment
was
such an amazing experience. And to kind of fast forward to, you know, that what did it, because people ask me that, what did it, John? And those, that's a major moment. And the reason why that's so important, I read a book after sometime within probably the next year or 2 years after that moment. And it was a book by Father Mike Driscoll written, it was published by Catholic Answers, and it was on demons, deliverance, and exorcisms. And in that book, he studied exorcisms, worked with demonologists and exorcists, and there was three common ways that the devil operates in our lives, that enters into our life. And it was, first common way was habitual sin. So mm-hmm. I looked at my life, check. The second way was through trauma and abuse.
Wow.
Check.
Okay.
And the third way was occult. And so I had played around with Ouija boards, and there was a lot of that stuff going on when I was younger.
But basically, all those portals were open.
Oh, wide open. And yeah. You talk about the bondage that you're in. And so when we think about the blessings we have as Catholics through the sacramental life of the church, and when you think about something like minor exorcisms, the deliverance prayer, and I'd always say, why can't I break these chains? Why can't I get over this sin? Why can't I just heal from this trauma? And it wasn't until that point that those chains were absolutely obliterated. And overnight, Brooke, things that I was really struggling with in a human condition kind of way were alleviated.
What do you say to the guy who just feels like, I'm good where I am. Like, I don't need to pray the rosary with my family.
Yeah, he's
anymore.
Comfortable with what he is, right? Even especially the guys that say, hey, look, man, I take my family to Mass. That's good enough, right? You know, I'm a firm believer in Socratic dialogue. It's asking more questions than giving answers, right? And it's about relationship. You know, going back to that suggestion for both other brothers in Christ who would try to encourage other brothers or even the women out there is that, one, let them know that they're needed, that they're designed for something greater. Instead of pointing to where they aren't, show them where they're called to be.
And I think one thing I've recognized in my own marriage is you can't say it enough.
No.
You know, I feel like my husband knows that I'm appreciative and of how hard he works and the efforts and strides that he's made in his faith. Mm-hmm. But I mean, for me as a woman, I feel like no one is saying, hey, you're a great mom, mm-hmm. you know, and my husband is, mm-hmm. you know, but I think for all of us, and especially men, we can't feel, men are tough, but that doesn't mean that they don't need to be affirmed and supported and encouraged and prayed over.
Yeah.
And I think for our own family, that's been a blessing is that we're very open with our prayers. Mm-hmm. The kids and I will pray for dad. We pray for everybody, you know, on our way to mm-hmm. school, and he prays for us and lets us know that. And I think just building that culture of love in a holy way, and that reminder that you hold a very powerful role, and it's just a matter of stepping into that. I know we have to wrap up time-wise, but for your sons, this is a tough time to be a parent and raise the next generation of men between mm-hmm. social media.
I think with my boys in particular, first and foremost, it's witnessing to it, leading it, mm-hmm. showing them how to treat other people, most especially my wife and my daughter, right? I tell my sons, hey, when you're walking with your girlfriend, when you're walking with them on the sidewalk, you take the outside of the curb because you mm-hmm. can, you know, so you're teaching them chivalry.
Yes.
You're talking about opening doors. You model it, not just tell them, but I think it's about those moments from father to son is actually modeling it for them and then having this discussion. Talk to them about pornography and the destruction. Talk to them about the fact that we're being lured by the culture to objectify, right? To use people rather than love. And then not just talk about it from a, you know, don't do it, but why not, right?
Right?
That we need to...
Because that's the beauty of our church is it's all laid out. It's unpacking it and making it. And that's been one of the neat things for me in coming back to my faith is it's not a no, it's a yes. Everything in our faith, it's not to restrict, but it's to invite them into a greater freedom.
That's right.
And to be
freedom
able
to, for versus freedom from, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And that is a message you'll never hear mm-hmm. in our culture.
No, if you want to change the world, change your family.
Yeah.
Right. And you want to change your family, change how you pray, change how you communicate love. You know, with my sons in particular, they've heard it from dad's mouth. numerous times that it's the obligation of, as we heard, you know, Pope St. John Paul II, this obligation of every man to uphold the dignity of every woman. If you just witness what real, authentic masculinity looks like, your sons will follow. I asked my son, my middle son, what did it for you? What is it that, you know, you're a grown man, you're choosing your faith. These kids go to confession every week. You know, they're in the chapel. They're doing, you know, they're more than just Sunday Mass. They're owning their faith. They have devotions to our Blessed Mother. They're praying, you know, they do consecrations, you name it. It's like, praise be to Jesus Christ. How did this all happen? And it was like, Dad, if you lead, we will follow. And if we respect you, we'll respect what you respect. So I'm listening. What did it for you? They've got to own it, but they got to see it owned.
Right.
Right. And yeah. I think for the yeah. men out there, yeah. it's the natural tendency to be fearful that I don't know everything, but just start. Just begin one step in front of the other, praying with your children, praying for your children, praying with your spouse, praying for your spouse, getting back to the sacramental life, talking about why those are important, right? That grace isn't some symbol. It's God's divine life working in you and through you. So they need to see people that are excited and vibrant about that faith, that are willing to stand by it and have hard conversations that my sons know, my daughter especially, but my sons specifically know that you need to be true men of God. And they believe that and it with every fiber in their being because they see it lived and they see the effect on our family. Our family was just a thread away from being destroyed. And now they see a family coming together in an apostolate.
Right? That is such my favorite thing about how God uses us. Mm-hmm. And I think for each one of us listening or processing everything that you're saying is that we can all look back in our lives and say, you were there, Lord, you were there. And mm-hmm. my story is still being written. And it's a miracle mm-hmm. for each one of us. Mm-hmm. And for this Franciscan priest who through his yes brought you back.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just the way that it goes and how the Lord multiplies our little yeses and testimony. So thank you for your time. And how can we find out more about you? And you speak all over, right?
I do, yeah. So I think the easiest way is just to go to johnsablan.com. So that's johnsablan.com. You can also find out about World Ablaze Ministry at worldablaze.org. That's the nonprofit Catholic apostolate that my wife and some other close friends of ours started. Yeah, I mean, you can find me, and if you just go to johnsablan.com, you can find all my handles, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and keep praying. I think even for the women out there, if I would not be here, if it were not the prayers of my mother and the prayers and sacrifice of my wife, a mother and a wife's prayers are so efficacious.
Yes,
so for the women out there that may be a little bit discouraged where certain men in their life are, don't stop praying, don't stop fasting, because it's working. It's just God's timing.
And it sounds like for Father's Day, you have the best gift.
Oh, with yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Wow. Powerful moments. Vulnerable. Real. Raw. Holy. So a big thank you again to John Sablan. And you can find out more again about his ministry, his website, worldablaze.com. And it reminds me of an excerpt from Biblical Chivalry. It's by Ryan McGuire, and what men are called to exemplify, start to finish. And as he shared his conversion, his reversion, really made me think of this. I wanted to share it with you. It says, men must be a living reflection of our Lord in five areas: servant, warrior, prophet, priest, and king. As a servant, he will learn to obey God in small things. As a warrior, he will take his stand and fight for the great things. As a prophet, he will proclaim the true things of the Word of God and to those around him. And as a priest, he will focus on the precious things, interceding for others, pointing them to God. And finally, as a king, he will take dominion over the kingdom of his own heart, his own life, and his own home. He will wage war on three fronts, the spiritual, the social, and the cosmic, and he will win. Though he will lose many battles, he will not slink from the field. But through the dust, the blood, the tears, he will rise again and again to quench the thirst within him, to taste conformity to his risen, victorious Lord. The enemy within, the enemy without, will all taste the steel of his sword and know they have met a man. Amen. And thank you to all of our men as we look to honor fathers and those who are spiritual fathers, those who have given their fiat to lead us as we honor the godly men in our lives.
In the area, Brooke would love to connect with you at one of her upcoming talks. On June 28th at Immaculate Conception Church in Dublin, Georgia, on July 9th at St. Robert's and William Parish in Euclid, Ohio. On October 10th, the Alleluia Ball with Bishop Nelson Perez and Cardinal Dolan at the Downtown Hilton in Cleveland, Ohio. And on October 19th at the Cleveland Catholic Women's Conference. For more information on these events, or to book Brooke for your church, retreat, or event, visit brooketaylor.us.
Announcements and updates to share with you. First, super delighted to be joining the Breadbox Media family. Breadbox is a Catholic-based national podcast network carrying programming from Scott Hahn, John Michael Talbot, my friend, Allison Gingras, many familiar faces in the new evangelization. So this just means that you can also find GTR through the Breadbox Media outlets on Spotify, Podbean, iTunes, where pretty much all podcasts are heard, and also explore their library of shows too. So many, and just really honored and excited to be enfolded into the Breadbox Media umbrella. So welcome to new listeners. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the show and wanting to give you some save the dates we've been working on for 2020. Big things coming up in the next year. So first, our Arise retreat. So this is our Weary Women's Weekend gathering coming together tentatively, and I'm prematurely giving you these dates, but there's a reason why. So tentatively looking at June 5th through the 7th of 2020. Now, this could change, and there's still a lot to work out, so your prayers would be appreciated first and foremost. And normally, I wouldn't even tell you this until it was signed, sealed, and a done deal, but I wanted you to hear it first because this is where Arise was born, and not only for your prayers, but also planning. I know that schedules are already filling up for next year, and so more details will be coming in July, but we are penciled in, we're planning on it, the team is praying and preparing, and that's what we have. So I hope to see you. And it's about a year, a little bit less than that now, but pretty close to save and just get that on the calendar. So that's a save the date. And then pilgrimages for 2020. It's going to be a busy year. Two trips planned, one for the Holy Land, again with Brother John Michael Paul, my buddy, February 22nd through March 3rd. And that is going to be Lent of next year. And I feel bad because, you know, when you say something over and over again, it kind of loses its effect. But I really do feel like this is going to be the best pilgrimage that we've taken. And really, it's presumptuous to say that. It's all in the Lord's hands by the work of the Holy Spirit. But we have gone with a new tour agency, and just the incredible attention to detail, the quality of everything, the things we've learned along the way and that we're going to be offering to the pilgrims is so beautiful, unique, special, one of a kind. And so again, that's going to be on February 22nd through March 3rd, Lent of next year. More details coming on that. Ireland, also headed to Ireland, God willing, July 18th. Through the 29th, so next July of 2020 with Monsignor Jay Clark. And so lots to share in the coming months. So if you haven't signed up for the GTR newsletter, this is it, because there's going to be a lot forthcoming that we're going to share. You can check it out. And I have a new way for you to opt in. This is exciting. So all you have to do is text. Right now, you can send a text and just text the word FIAT, F-I-A-T, your yes, text FIAT to the number 66866. And I really asked my husband, can we not just have so many sixes in there? But they do this like random generated number. So that's what we have. But it's 66866. And if you text FIAT, you will automatically be on the list to receive updates, the events, big and small. And so I hope you can join in and be a part of the newsletter updates. Easy as that. Also, we'll link that up in the show notes. Sweetheart of my Jesus, grant that I may love thee evermore. That is a quick, beautiful prayer that we can recite through the day this month of June, dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I pray you feel the love of our Lord and our Lady evermore. God bless you, friends. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you to my guest today, John Sablon. And until next time, peace and love.
Good Things Radio is a production of St. Gabriel Media. Adventure, encounter, evangelize. To find out more, or to schedule Brooke to speak to your group or parish, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Good Things Radio is a production of Coming Home Studios, produced by Mark Cumming. Find out more at www.cominghomestudio.com.